Father in heaven, we're so thankful for this special day, and we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for that loving kindness, that tender mercy. Lord, we just thank you that you're everything that we need, and I thank you that you're faithful to give us what we need. And I thank you for your great love. I thank you for your manifold blessings you bestow upon us day by day. Father, your word even declares that this world is kept in store by your word. And the same word that was kept on the day of Noah, the same word keeps it in store this day. And we thank you, Lord, for what a mighty unction of powerful God that you are. And I thank you for your goodness. I thank you for your great masterpiece you've created. And we thank you for all the many splendors we see. And we see your handiwork every day. Lord, we see it in your people. Lord, we see it in creation itself. We thank you that you're so real, so wonderful, so beyond our imagination, Lord God. Lord, we know that we all, each one of us, is going to face you one day, and some for shame and some for via gain. Father, I hope for each one of us here this day, it'll be truly for a gain that we'll have a special day. And we thank you. Father, we pray for those out there that might be listening this day. We pray for the hearts of those that need a mighty touch this day. Father, we pray for ones in being going through a grief, have lost loved ones and feel for loved ones. We pray that you give them comfort, Father God. Father, for those that's going through ill, feeling that they don't feel well, we pray that you bless them, heal them, bring healing to their bodies. Father, for those who have been cast down, they feel like they cannot go any farther, I pray that you'd give them an extra touch and give them that extra strength, give them that confidence to keep going on after they've having done all to stand. Father, I pray that you'd move mighty upon your people this night. Father, for those who've called in, I pray that you'd bless them. I pray for that young fellow that's in Arkansas this night, 23 years old. I pray, Father God, that you'll bring healing to his body. Father, bring healing to that mind, Father God. And Father, I know that you've already done work in it, and I know that you're going to finish it. And Father, I pray for your blessings. I pray for all these requests. I pray for those who have called in. We pray for the silent requests over those needs who have still in their own hearts, Father God. We pray that you'd, there's nothing uncovered from you this night. Father, you see these needs, and I pray that you'd bless in a mighty way. And we thank you in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. We're living in a very special day, but I was just going to have quite a bit of time here lately to really think. And I remember the old timers back about 50 years ago or so, and I really didn't know what they was really talking about. And we had a real move of the Lord in those, and back in the 50s, it was just tremendous. And you know, the one of the wonderful things was they didn't have the churches like they have now. Most all of the Pentecostal churches were just a plain little nothing. Some place just very modest, no stained glass, and most of them in those days didn't have any really padded pews or nothing like that. Some of them didn't even have very good floors. But the Spirit of God never remember one time the Spirit of God never really come down. And you know, there's a things that took place in the 60s that I seen, and that's what they was talking about the 50s, these wonderful pastors they had in those days, and these real deep people of the Lord. And they said they was afraid that they was going to give away that wonderful blessing they've had. It's the power of the Holy Ghost. And so a little later on, they started compromising. They said, well, we need to get like our brothers and sisters, the bigger churches. So in that, they compromised, and I don't believe, I know they haven't got what they once had. We need God. He is more special than all the buildings, because he makes the scenery. So everything is his anyway, but he is very special. And I really think that we don't really consider what God feels. We don't consider what he thinks. We're not really too aware of he's even there. We're just doing our thing, and we go to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, and we sing songs. And life, we went down the aisle and shook the pastor's hand, and basically we're on our way to heaven, so everything's just peachy. But I really believe, as I've studied this word, there's a lot more to it than just that. There's a responsibility, basically, that comes on all believers. It doesn't make any difference. You're spirit-filled or non-spirit-filled. Is trying to obey the word of God. And that obedience is very special, because God uses us through obedience. That's how, through obedience is where you get to a place where you can pray for someone. It's because you've been obedient in faith. You've been obedient in believing in the living God. And through that, with those kind of background, pretty soon you can pray for things and you can see things happen. But you pay, everybody pays the price what they get for the Lord. It's not, it just doesn't just give you something. You must work out with your very intent of your heart, desiring it as a gift from God. But yet you want to have that gift in you that can help appropriate what God would have us do. Each one of us has different callings. Each one of us has different directions. But I believe that there's not one person that knows the Lord thy God that doesn't have a special place where God would have them be. And that calling comes from the Lord. God wants us to walk upright before Him, to really to feel. You know, there's when people get in trouble, a lot of times I see people take it so casual. It's just someone's in trouble. But we need to really to feel that. We need to feel what a little bit of what God, as a Christian, we need to feel when someone's hurting. We need to feel when someone's going through a situation that's very taxing on that person. We should have that in ourselves and say we have sympathy. That word sympathy means that we can sympathize with them in such a way that can help them. And God, with that sympathy, allows us to support them. And that's another way to get our prayers answered, because we're sympathizing in with our heart. And God sees that hurt there in our heart also. So He's going to do a supernatural work. When a person calls upon you to pray, that prayer is answered because you're faithful. But it's not just being faithful. It's having sympathetic with what you're praying for, caring what you're doing, not just taking it as a light, but it's a heavy responsibility. And with that, we start growing. And I'd really like to read in Hebrews a little bit that really to, I think this is, the Word of God is always good to hear, isn't it? Therefore, we ought to give more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest any time we should let them slip. And see, that's what those dear pastors and those friends would tell me years ago. They told me, we'll probably never be lived to be that. But he says, it's going to happen. Because they could start seeing a great fall in the way at that time. How that there was, some of the people was really not for the move of the Spirit. And then why they was having to move the Spirit then is because the majority wanted to move the Spirit. But it got to be later on where there was more of a majority that didn't want to move the Spirit than wanted to move the Spirit. I've been in church where they had to call in help because the unrest was there because of these fractions. And generally, in those days, the side that wanted to move the Spirit would always give in to the other side, because the side that moved the Spirit had God in their hearts. So they didn't want to fight. They didn't want to argue. They didn't want to make waves. So the other side would just gloat because they won. That's like getting a fight when you could win, but you got your hand tied behind your back and your other hand is down here and you can't really fight. You can't protect yourself. Well, that's what was happening. These people, the others were losing, but yet the other ones really hadn't won either, because these had let them win easily. And through this has been a great falling away in the Pentecostal ranks. And I don't care who he wants to come, I'll face him, because they're not like it once was. When God moved mightily, and it was you didn't have the shiny chandeliers, you didn't have that, but God moved in them. He moved in the old Brush Arbor days when there wasn't even, they didn't have it, just the homes that would be it, and then Brush Arbor, they'd gather in Brush Arbors, and God came down and mightily back in the 1800s, God moved even before Azusa Street. He moved in mighty in the Kentucky. There was great revivals, and the Spirit of God moved mightily, but they kept it quiet because no one wants to brag about God. You know, that's the truth. That's what the Lord, you know, if it's some old, something hideous, that old people just let that go, but if it's God, oh, we better keep it quiet, you know, because someone will surely won't want to believe us, and, you know, when they doubt us, you know, look what makes me feel sort of small, but that's where we've all failed. Because we're thinking too much about ourselves, but we should be more thinking about God's ministry. Yes. We're part of His ministry, and we're part of that vital area that God wants to touch in a mighty way. But we can let the Word of God slip of our hearts so easily. We can go to a church And the Spirit of God moved mightily. And if we're not careful, we can lose that experience before we get home. That's why I don't like to talk a lot after a lot of times. It's because you lose that experience. Is it anymore? It doesn't make any difference because I don't know what's going on anyway, so don't. But in the old days when I'm getting enough in here, I didn't want to talk some foolish talk, chit-chat, when I wanted to keep what I had. Because what we get from God is non-replaceable. You know, you can go downtown, talk to everybody, find about the weather, you can find about how everything's going. But to get information from God through the Spirit is mighty.
Yes.
It's mighty important. It will keep you. It'll save you. And I've proven this because I worked as a mechanic. Not many people know this, but I worked about close to 10 years through the Spirit. And the years, my brother asked me the other day about something. I said, yeah, that was before I got really right with God. I had a terrible time. I was a Christian. I had a terrible time like most. I didn't know what was wrong with things. I didn't know. But when I started praying, taking time, and just put it in God's hand, God just did it for me. So I can tell, I'm a witness. Nobody may not believe it, but I'm a witness of knowing that God is real. And when he tells you something, it's exactly like he says. Day after day, he give me chores to do. One day he says, pray. There's going to be someone dying just a little bit or face death. And your prayers can save or the person go on in eternity. It's up to you. So anyway, I chose to pray and seek God. And I've seen God move mightily. There's never been a one day that God is wrong. He's always right. It gives me great confidence in him today. When now, many times, I don't really know what I say, but I have confidence in him. Because he will not let me have to be ashamed of myself. He would not want to hurt me. And that's one thing I had to learn. If when I was out of control, God was in control. And that's where the Holy Ghost is. And that's why some of our people can never learn to move in the Spirit. Because they've always got to be in control. And if you want to be in control, it's like driving. How long can you sit there and keep your hands off the steering wheel? Not very many would want to do that, even any. God wants to be the one that holds the steering wheel.
Amen.
In our lives. And it takes a lot of trust. What God wishes for us, that we literally trust him, or we say, no, I can't trust you. Like I was going to, could have ruined the top of an engine, and it broke tap off an engine, and that tap broke off below the block, and I was fuming within myself. I was praying. I said, Lord says, I'll help you get it out if you'll listen to me. I said, Lord, what if I mess up the block? He said, if that's in your mind, he said, don't do it. You got to believe that I'm going to do it.
Amen.
You don't worry about what is, because there's a lot of what is. You got to just have your perfect confidence in me. If you'll do that, it'll come out. And so I started learning that's been many years ago, but that's how God moves. We make a majority. You can be around a whole surrounding of people, and they're walking in unbelief. Most of everybody is unbelief. They don't think nothing's going to happen. A person's dying. They're just, well, he's going to die and all these things. But just your faith in God, God can move mountains.
Amen.
I've seen it happen with Betty 5 or 6 times. She was physically dead. But God moved apart. Countless others. I'm not nothing, but God moves on your behalf. You're just there, but he does it for you. But how do we get from here to there? That's what I'd like to get in tonight. We may have to have a couple more sessions of this because it takes a lot of, not so much studying, but relying on God. God really doesn't care how smart we are. That helps, it benefits us. Yes, he doesn't care if you are smart. But what I'm saying, he can take a nobody and do great things that we cannot do with all of our intellect. Can you understand what I'm saying? He can do great things beyond our carnal ability. And that's what we call walking in the Spirit, that we not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So when we start doing it in the carnal realm, that's knowing that you're getting all your notes out here and you just follow them right down. You figure it all out your head. It's figured out in your head. I don't care how you want to do it. The Spirit don't move that way. You can have God helping you, but it's not moving in the Spirit, basically. Move the Spirit as letting the Spirit move you in him. So there's times we're around the Spirit, but we're not in the Spirit. And God does it purposely that way because there's times you've got to walk in faith 24 hours a day.
Now, to get to where you walk in the Spirit, you've got to walk in faith first. You've got to have faith that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly all we can ask or think, according to the power that works with us. There's power that's in you. Now, in Him is able to do exceedingly abundantly all we can ask or think, according to the power that works within you. There's power, life and death, the power of the tongue. Our words can be power or they can be death. We can speak life or we can speak death. And we need to speak life all the time. We need to tell ourselves, straighten up. We need to tell ourselves to walk wisely before God. People say, this can't be, but it is right. God uses the word, and as you start growing God, you're going to use the word, and what you speak, He will cause it to happen. That's what it is. When you start growing in God, you can have your prayers answered. You can lean not in your own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. Be not wise in thine own heart. That's what we're wise in our own heart. But He says, be not wise in your own heart. Fear from evil, depart from iniquity. If we depart from iniquity and depart from fear, God can move mighty parts. But it takes a little coaching in ourselves that we have to let God allow Him to move in us. Many of us never talk to Him. Many of us never even know, understand. We don't even know, understand, because we don't spend that time. We don't spend enough time with God. So we find ourselves alienated from God. And the Bible says, alienated, we can be so alienated, we have spiritual blindness. That means that we don't really see God. We don't really even feel Him. The only time we see Him is when His Word is, we know the Bible is God. But we truly do not know Him in that personal relationship that's so needful and so valuable. It's more valuable than anything in life because it is your life. But this getting across to people is like going through tons and tons of rock. They still can't fathom it. But God moves through His Spirit. And how the old churches, why it worked, is because every Sunday when you went to church, you seen miracles. You seen great exploits. But God said, He says He will sign great exploits to His beloved. I've seen great things happen. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He doesn't fail. Rip and Holly are still alive. God doesn't fail. God's forever faithful. He will never leave you and never forsake you. And yet you'll feel at times like last night, boy, you're falling alone, but God's there with your side. You got to say, devil, get out in the name of Jesus. This is God's property. You bug out. You get out of here. You're not wanted. And that has to be done sometimes more than once in a day. You must take time to pray, to call upon God, and God will help you to come. Pretty soon you start having peace in your life. Most people are not living in peace. Christians are not living in peace. They're all a bundle of nerves. They're having fractions. They don't know whether they're up, they're upside down. They don't know. They're up or down. They don't even know. They don't even. All they can do is argue. They argue about the Word of God when God says not to debate the Word of God. We learned that from the very beginning. We don't debate it as Christians. And that's why these soothsayers like that, they went out because they argue, they debate, they do all the things that you're not supposed to do. Because they do it doesn't give us a license to do it also. Remember, we don't have a license from God to do all these other things. We must give more earnest heed to the things of God, lest any time they've let them slip. God hasn't given us a license to have unbelief. He doesn't give us a license to walk in doubt, to walk in fear. God does not license us for that. He licenses us for the things of glory. He will put His surname upon us. He will bless us as long as we walk in His covenant. Walk in His understanding. Walk by the code from heaven. Walk in the deity of God the Father, God the Son, and the joy of the Lord will be upon you so mightily that the joy and His joy will be your peace. And like a mighty river that flows through you. But people are not there. I can see it. Their prayer meetings are very shallow. They don't even know how to pray. God wants us to learn to pray to Abba Father. That means He's a Father. And have that in your heart that when you pray, you know He's even closer than your dearest friends that's around about you, your loved ones. That you got that much confidence in God that He's above your father, your mother, your sister, your brother, whoever, your pastor, whoever, He is better, He is glorious, and you can take His word to heart. I had learned this very short About 50 years ago, God spoke to my heart through the Holy Ghost when I received the baptism. I want you to go to Henderson County Jail, and I want you to go in that jail. And I knew God put it on my heart, and I said, I'll go. And boy, as soon as my wife found it out, and a few people found it out, the pastor found it out, they come to me and says, you cannot go. And God says, who are you going to listen to? You better learn it fast. Yeah. He says, I'll deal with them. So I said, I'm going. And I said, I don't want to be in subordination against you, but I want to do God's will also. And I've learned that we, all of us, we're going to come against those tests. Those tests are going to follow you. Oh, now, you don't do that. You know, my folks didn't like me at all when I walked in Pentecost. I mean, if Betty was here, she'd tell us. I was rejected. My dad says, I don't think you're a son no longer. And he's hurt. But I said, you know, I said, as much as I love you, Dad, I'm going to love God more. Because I knew if I said that, it would break something down in here. That code that God loves us so much. This is what the old Pentecostals knew. They didn't have, a lot of them couldn't read the Bible. But they had a love of God. They had the glory of God. They could pray for you. They could love you. You would feel that closeness, that goodness. They had it down here. And they had the joy of the Lord. They had a peace like a mighty river. Up to about the 1950s, the Spirit of God moved mightily through these churches. Moved mightily. I remember a little boy, I went down to Four Square Church, and they moved mightily. I didn't know what it was, but now I do. It was a move of the Spirit. But now they don't have it. It's because we've compromised. We've compromised. We did it just like Israel. Israel had God. God moved them mightily out of Egypt. Moved them mightily by His Spirit. He got Moses. He got Moses. Moses, come and lead these people out. He says, I've heard their cries. I've heard them. And I want you to come and lead them out. And Moses said, no, don't, not me. He said, I slain that. And he said, oh, he says, God says, I'll use you anyway. And then he starts arguing, said he can't talk. God says, I'll use you, Moses. And he used Moses so mightily, get him out of Egypt. And then after they got out of Egypt, the people started murmuring. They started giving in to their flesh. And any of us, when we give in to ourselves, we got a challenge in. This old self gives us more problems than the enemy will ever give us. We got to learn to curb this right here and let the spirit man be the dominant man. And if he's not dominant, we're going to be losers. We're not going to be a winner. And God wants us to be a forever winner. It's not saying even that you're going to have trials. But God will go with you through the trials. He will go through all the veiling things that happen. He is greater. Greater is He that's within you. He is in the world. And the Bible says, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. As long as we keep in God's context, in God's covering, in God's umbrella, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. That's an umbrella of God. As long as we allow ourselves and keep ourselves in that focus with God, we have communion with God day by day. And we can call upon God and He will answer us here and show us great and mighty things that we know not. He is there, but we've got to present ourselves as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service, that we may not conform this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds, that we might prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. What we've done is we don't present our bodies on a sacrifice. We want to do all the things of God, but we don't want to put anything to it. When God reads us, He reads us so well, He says, oh child, you know, you're still a baby. We need to grow up. God says, grow up that you might be strong. Be strong, Lord, power might be put you on the whole armor of God, that you might be able to withstand the wild devil. So that withstanding, it takes a lot of foretaste of praying. Every day you have assignments. If you don't want to call it assignment, it's your duties. It's your, what you like. Paul and I used to have to get wood in. That was our, one way is about 6 or 7 years old. My dad says, you kids, if you can't do nothing else, make sure the wood is in the house at night. So Paul and I, we talked about that, and we get that wood in. But it was their chores. But our chores, we need to pray. We need to call upon God. We need to love God and thank Him. Give Him glory. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. People say, oh, what? That's just phony. But it's not phony. You make love to God, and God will make love back to you. He will love you if you'll love Him. But it's not a one-way street with God. If you don't just show any attention to God, God's not going to show any attention to you. You'll just sit out there puffed up, and you'll say, well, I go to church every day, and I go to do this and that. God says, I'm still out here. I'm not even talking to you. We can outdistance ourselves to God. And then we need to learn to be careful, because the Holy Spirit that dwells within us can be easily grieved. And when we say things, it grieves Him. Now, if I would have told my dad, says, no, you're right, Dad, I'd grieve the Holy Ghost. It grieved Him. But you know, these old dear Pentecostals already warned me, whatever you do, don't never, because they told me that it'll probably happen. When I was in Texas, they said, when you go back there to California, it'll probably happen. It says, you must be on guard. You must protect yourself, because you're a great worth. Now, the Holy Ghost is living in you, and you can't give away. You can't give it up. You've got something mighty. You've got something that you can live for. You've got something dynamic in God, and that's God's given us a relationship. It can live about us. It says He commands the universes. In that second chapter of Hebrews, it talks about something that I'd like to reinstate a little bit here. Thou hast put all things in a subjection under His feet. That's our feet. But why it's not there is because we haven't done this that gets us complete in Him. I don't believe that we can truly live an overcoming life without partial gift of the Holy Ghost. I believe it. I believe there's flaws in there that we're going to have trouble. And this is people that don't like to hear these words, because, you know, there's a lot of people that's not there. But I'm saying truthfully, I believe this is very validated by heaven. It'll give you an unction from the Spirit of God that you can cope with problems, with situations, with down settings that other people fall under, can't move. You'll be able to keep going. God wants you to be an overcomer in all areas. He wants you to be a willing worker in all areas. He wants you to be faithful to Him. And that's why we need, so desperately need, the power, the unction of the Spirit of God. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? Now, Jesus said, He says, listen to that. Jesus said, it's needful, He told the disciples. The disciples were very, they were sort of, you know, not real. They was not first class, really. But Jesus wanted to be first class. He says, needful that I go away. Because they were sort of crying on His shoulder and said, Jesus, we don't want You to leave us. He says, needful I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter, they didn't know anything about it. But He says, the Comforter will not come. But when He has come, the Father will send Him in My name. He will bring all things to remembrance and teach you all things. Teach you all things. The anointing which you have received of Him, that's the Spirit, abideth in you. The anointing which you have received of Him, the Holy Spirit, abideth in you, and you need not that any man teaches you, but as that same anointing teaches you all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and He, as He has taught you, ye shall abide in Him. Very special, very trustworthy, very glorious. I love the way that King James says that, because it's very validated. It's very up to date. It's very real. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by these that hear Him? Jesus has confirmed. He confirmed. He says, needful that I go away. It's needful that I give my life, because if I don't go upon the cross is the pivot point for us. Through the cross, Jesus died. It was a terrible thing that Jesus had to go through, but it was our salvation. It was our life. He spared us. God spared us through the love of His Son, that we could be spared from the pitfalls that comes our way. Then Jesus said, He says, I'm going to give you power. When Jesus was here, we seen Him do miracles. We seen Him cast out devils. We seen Him do great and mighty things. We seen Him feed the multitudes. We seen all these things. But listen to what this next verse says. God also bearing witness both with signs and wonders and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost. Of what? The Holy Ghost. What? The Holy Ghost. There's another place you can't even say Jesus, only by the Holy Ghost. The Bible says that. The Holy Ghost is a powerful witness of Jesus. He's part of Jesus. So when we come against Him, we're coming against Jesus. Jesus said, He says, I'll forgive you whatever you do unto Me. But you're not going to be forgiven whatever you do against the Holy Ghost. So I tell you, I believe that where some of us may have already committed unpardonable sin. And that means we know where we're headed. And that's terrible. It says, for the angels hath not put subjection of the world to come wherever we speak. The angels are not getting what we're getting. We're getting something given to us that's above angels. Jesus has given us part of Him. He's granting us an eternal home that's forever. It's lasting. All the jewels, all the finery, all the finest clothing, all the finest, everything is beyond our description. The streets of pure gold, tree of life, all these wonderful trees will never die. Even the trees die here. And they have to have water. They have to have sun. Those, they're going to go on forever, never, never. It's beyond, it says, it's written, the Bible says, but it's written, I have not seen, neither ear heard, neither has it entered the heart of man, the things that are prepared for the love of God. So there's no one that's ever heard, or no one knows what God has, but it's beyond any imagination. We see a lot of the imagination, people that write books and all these things, that's imaginations. They write great philosophies, that's imagination. And the enemy uses a great imagination to his glory, a lot of it. He does a lot of things that, with people's minds. And people can be tricked. Our mind is a gift from God. Let this mind be in you, which is in Christ Jesus. The renewing of your mind that you might prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. The mind of Christ in our mind, that we have the mind of Christ, and that by the power of the Spirit of God within us, that our love is so complete in our Heavenly Father. Yes. That we are His children. We are His surroundings. We are that peacemaker. We are that Savior. We are that one that brings good tidings where you come to that place where there's harassment. All bad things, you come there in your light, the shining light of glory. There might be some that's jealous against you, but they can't deny the power of God that's on you. And God will move mightily to those, will move through His Spirit. Where His Spirit is, there is liberty. God brings liberty. It says, Thou hast made Him a little lower than the angels. Thou crownest Him with the glory and honor, and didst set Him over the works of Thy hands. God given man the authority. So you can see why God has to have certain guidelines. He's not just going to give it to everybody. He gives the parables over and over. You see the parables, how He goes and some did and some didn't. God wishes that everyone would be saved. God wishes everyone could be walk in obedience. But truly the adversary has went around and sowed discouragement, distorted many things to the place that we are and this planet we are right now. There's a lot of people that don't feel the Spirit of God. They don't know the glory of God. They've never tasted. The Bible says, taste and see it's good. Hallelujah. There is nothing but good and righteousness. God has a faithfulness. He blesses those walk in His umbrella. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under His shadow. And it says, I will say to the Lord, He is my refuge, my fortress, my mighty God. He will cover thee. He will keep you through the hour of temptation. He will bless you. He will support you. You know, like Job. Job was tested from God probably about 9 months. I think that's what they believe. And yet he lived afterwards, had twice as much, and God blessed him over and over and over. You can read the last of Job. Talks about all that Job had. He had more. His daughters were the fairest. His daughters were really something. God blessed his daughter, but God blessed his sons. God blessed Job. But God's given us something beyond what Job has. God's given you something that'll live ever and ever and ever. Job's finally give way. He finally left his body, and he had to leave it all here. The Bible says we come this world with nothing, and truly we'll leave it with nothing. We cannot come with anything. We're going to come as we leave it as we came. And we have it here for a short span of time. And that's why we need the Comforter to be with us, to help us prescribe our days daily, that we'll live properly before God every day of our life. And that day that we won't be standing before God being wanting. And Luke, it says that day that we'd be able to stand before the Son of God, Many won't be able to stand before the Son of God. If you don't know the Son of God, you'll not stand before Him. But the 21st chapter of Luke, it says that we to be able to stand before the Son of God. What a privilege to be able to stand before God, be able to have. It's a privilege now to take it. It's something that you got to do now. You have to do it now. You can't do it then. It'd be fine if you could go live through this life at the end when you say, yeah, I see my error, my way, Lord, I'll go back again and I'll do it right this time. But God says, no, you do it one time first. You do it only one time. You don't get it right. That's what most people like. You're going to go do it. We don't get enough extra time. Every day of our life, if we haven't done our best, we need to do a little better. because God wishes us to have a good day every day of our life. Amen. We can be faithful. We can walk upright. The joy of the Lord is our strength. I've never had so much fun till I went all the way. Amen. It's fun.
Amen. Praise God.
God is real. My age, I wouldn't want to face life without the Lord. There's too many things that happen in these old bodies. And there's things that you're going to face. You need to give the days of your youth.
Yes.
Your youth is when you need to give God, that you'll walk circumstantially before Him, that you'll walk in His safety. You know, having safety, you work for companies and they have safety meetings. It's where you keep from making serious mistakes. You don't want to get something in harm's way. I know the worst that I heard about was a man that had working on one of these chippers, electric, big one, and how he crawled down in there, chipper, and should have padlocked the safety lock, and it wasn't padlocked, and someone flipped the lever, and how it must have been. But that's what it is. Safety is the same thing. Many of us live through life, and the end of it, we're going to be facing eternal death. What a terrible situation. It's going to be a tragedy. I go to bed at night just hurting for people. I went and seen some people that I know that they're not where they should be, and I'm praying for them, but God is coming. He's coming very shortly. The stage is all been set. It's already set. And it says when these earthquakes, tornadoes, these storms has come in. The East Coast right now, there's home after home that have been flooded. Just rain. God has rain that puts people in harm's way. Plain little old drops of rain. God can use any little tool and defeat us. He can crack the biggest mountain with a little water. He is glorious. God reads our mail. He reads us where we are. We can't bluff God. God knows who we are. He knows where we live. He knows how many hair we have on our head. And yet, we might not know Him, but He knows us. And if we don't know Him, then we're not good business. Our makeup is on the old nature. God came to change this old nature, bring us when we become saved, we're to be reborn at that time as a new creation. Any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Former things are passed away, behold, all things become new. But that's the starting point to growing into a mature Christian, a mature God-like person, a person that's his heart centered on God. It's not centered on the things. We have so many things that we forget Him, the one that made all things. We have so many things. My grandkids, I see them, they have things. That's why many of our, even the grown-ups, we have things. I bought a pickup a little bit ago. Their pickup, they're really proud of it, you know, because it's a thing. But what I'm saying, God allows us to have some things to live here, but God should be the first in all areas, and you cannot do that without being full of the Holy Ghost. I believe it. Well, the Spirit of God is, it gives you a livelihood, a protection, a guidance, a direction that's above everything. You'll be hard-hearted. Something will tattletale signs if we don't have the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God helps you control your life to temperance, all these areas we find ourselves in wanting and lacking without the Spirit of God. He is real. He is for you. I don't care who you are in America this night. If you have the Spirit of God, He will help you. You say, I don't have a church for that. You can live, if you have to, by yourself. I'd rather have God and be out here under a tree and have the Spirit of God than be in the greatest cathedral and miss God.
That's right.
I'm saying this, not putting people down, but God is God. And God moves mightily. You can feel His Spirit. His Spirit, sometimes I feel the best when I'm right out alone. So God is real. Sometimes I go in these places and I don't feel nothing because He's not in there.
That's right.
He's not in there. Ichabod. We worship things that's so flimsy. We need to have our anchored in the Spirit of God. The glory comes down and anoints you and sets your heart on fire by the Spirit of God, that He will have liberty in your heart, that you can manage your life and be a prosperous child in heaven for God. Hallelujah. God is here to give you the maximum in Him if you go His way. But if you be without Him, you're going to be a loser. And I can believe that you can try as hard as you want, because I see a spirit that's coming on a lot of people. And that spirit is a selfish spirit. It's an unmanaged spirit that's trying to outperform God. Myself, I want to have the right spirit. And you can have it if you call upon God. But you got to put Him first. You got to seek Him. You got to make business with Him. Walk His way and He will talk your way. He will come your way. Ask Him and He will give you a great inheritance paid not away. He has given you a strength beyond strength. He gives you a liberty. He gives you a freedom. Bible says in John that the enemy can't even touch you if you'll come through the Spirit of God. The enemy can't touch you. That's why people are touched, because they're so loose. They're just out in harm's way. They're out there for an accident. And when the enemy comes up, yeah, they rock and roll. They get out, and that's what they're wrong. They're sort of rock and rolling. And they're in the flesh so much that they're really hurt. And I feel for them. But there's an answer in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Ghost is the answer. But I don't know where, there's not really revivals nowadays. But it breaks my heart, because I don't know where people's going. That's why the Bible says, many are called, but few are chosen. If it didn't shorten that day, that the very elect would not be saved. Think about that. That's what the Word says. Jesus said, if I didn't shorten that day, the very elect would not be able to be saved. That's pretty serious. Now, Noah went back. He had to restart. But we don't have to restart. We get a new, brand new life. We get a brand new place. But if we miss it, it's going to be a long, long, long haul. It says, for the worm never dies. I know this is hard, but we need to face facts. God is real. He is the Comforter. He is the Holy One. He is that special, adoring. He is worthy. He is worthy of all praise. He is, His deity is glorious. Most people don't put Him up in what He wants us to put Him. That glory. God will move upon you. Put Him, exalt Him. Give Him His place. Hallelujah. He is wonderful. I'm going to close, but out there tonight, I pray that if there's any in this, hearing my, this word tonight, I pray that God will move upon you in a mighty way. Accept His gift. Accept the power of the Spirit of God. If you have any place, I don't know where to tell you, but you need to pray through. Pray. If you mean business, pray until you pray through. That's pretty easy. It's hard to do, but pray. Just pray and mean business to God, and God will meet your need. He will come down upon you and touch you, strengthen you, lift you up, encourage you, but you got to learn to pray until you break that barrier. That's what we don't, many people never break it. It's like the sound barrier. The prop planes can't get through it. And that's why we can't get through it. We need to stay on our knees until we break that and we go over in glory land. Then you don't want to come back this old ugly place. You want to stay over there because you know it's greater, it's greener, it's glorious. It's like a temple of praise. It's not like the old gory place that we come out of. But in closing, we're like a bunch of caterpillars upon earth. There's going to be a few butterflies that's going to flake there and they're in heaven. And they're going to soar there and their beautiful wings upon them. They're going to, it's a parallel of what heaven is. They started out as a little old caterpillar. And we start out as an ugly little old caterpillar. But God made it a way that we could escape and have our sins washed away. When our sins put in the sea of forgetfulness, if we just ask to have a new hope, a new direction, a new blessing, a new calling. God wants to set us free this night. He wants to give you a blessing you can't contain, overflowing of milk and honey, that God can give you a blessing beyond description. Father, I pray for the peace of God upon our nation tonight. I pray for America. I pray for our leaders this night. I pray for those this night that are having troubles, those that are having spiritual troubles. I pray that you'd meet the needs of these ones tonight in a very special way. I pray, Lord God, that you'd move mightily upon them, but you're coming back very soon, and we know that people are not ready, but we pray for people that they will be ready. And while I'm praying here right now, God's let me see some of the fires. There's going to be fires upon this land, too, that's going to come. There's going to be things that's going to take place upon this earth. And this earth is going to be caught up and going to melt with a fervent heat. There's going to be things that's going to happen. We're not going to, if you live here very long, this earth is going to fall out from among you anyway. This earth is getting ready to disintegrate. This earth is ready for a new play. God wants to rejuvenate this land. And there's a thing that's going to happen. People need to be ready. People need to be prepared, because God is the answer. He wants to be your Father. He wants to be your friend. He wants to be your Savior. He wants to be your keeper forever and ever and ever. And Father, I pray for a mighty blessing upon these with us tonight. And Father, I pray, Lord God, move upon them, and Jesus, you be merciful. Father, I pray for your mercy.
to these ones. In Jesus' name, amen.